This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
Journey with Jen on Instagram joins me today to chat about body positivity. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, Jen, to join me this evening on the Hub. Your story, can I just start off by saying, is so incredibly inspiring, and you've turned your own recovery journey into a way of helping others, which is absolutely incredibly admirable. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey and what led you to become a health and wellness coach in the first place?
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Valerie, and for just sharing a little bit about my story. And I suppose, yeah, I think through the last couple of years of working on my own recovery, I felt like it would be a disservice to myself if I wasn't to use my experience to bring about awareness to this topic and share with others. Because I think, you know, for anyone who doesn't know me, I would have struggled with an eating disorder for a long time, since I was very young. So I was diagnosed with anorexia when I was 14. And very, back then, but still today, very taboo, very stigmatized, not understood at all, very much seen as kind of a vanity thing, or like kind of a, you know, this person just wants to be really skinny, so, or they want to be really small and they want to lose a lot of weight. And again, that's very surface level to a bigger picture that's going on. Because for me, I would have struggled with my mental health long before I got a diagnosis of an eating disorder. And I think what that highlights is that I was struggling long before that. And what it also highlights is that my body was never the problem, and food was never the problem, but it was that I was living in a world in my own head where I didn't know how to cope with my feelings. So I found this incredibly maladaptive behavior where I felt like I could control an aspect of my life, which was my body and food. And that made me, gave me a false sense of safety, I suppose, because I felt like there was something I could control. So, and that can be really difficult for people to understand, because, you know, from on a surface level, you can just see someone who's managing their food a lot, or trying to lose a lot of weight. And but the sad thing about this is, a lot of people, typical day to day, they don't have an eating disorder. OK, but your average person will have disordered eating and will have a bad relationship with their body. And that's down to the fact that we live in a world that very subtly makes us feel like being smaller is better. And it's done so indirectly through media, through messaging, through conversations we have with friends. But we all have this inherent belief that being smaller is better. And that's the problem in society, because, you know, we have, as I can only speak as for women, because I'm a woman, but you know, women and young girls have this perception that if I am smaller, I will be more successful and I will be happier. And that brings about a lot of issues, because then people are looking to manipulate their bodies and not treat them with respect. So yeah, sorry, that's a very long-winded answer to your question.
No, it was the perfect answer, because it's so honest and it's so reflective. And I have done interviews with people before that have suffered with eating disorders, and it does, you know, it strikes me every time that the person I'm interviewing will say, it was never about my body, it was about control on some element and how that interacts with your mental health. And it is so prevalent, as you said, and the things that we're seeing online are having an impact in a lot of ways. And one thing I have found interesting is TikTok has recently blocked searches for terms like skinny talk. What would be your opinion on something like that, as someone who has, you know, who works with people with body image and also on their wellness?
Yeah. So I think this whole concept of skinny talk and that kind of toxic diet culture online is sad, because a lot of these people who are posting it genuinely believe that they're helping people, and genuinely are probably struggling themselves a lot. So you have, you know, that's the problem with social media, is that anyone can post anything. So you don't have to have any education or, you know, awareness around things. You can just post whatever you want. So you have young girls who are vulnerable and who do think that, okay, if I'm in a smaller body, my life will be better. So they're trying to help other people through giving them other people tips around that. And we get really caught up in that, because then people, unfortunately, we do live in a world that when people are in smaller bodies, they are treated differently, you know. So then I suppose it's just, it's problematic because it's really vulnerable people who are sharing these ideas, and then it's other vulnerable people picking it up. And we don't know any different because we don't have any, there's no awareness, there's no discussions around this. And that, like, it's sad because it's young girls and boys who are trying to, let's say, be in a smaller body because they think they will be more liked. And this isn't just kind of a, like, this is a worldwide problem. You know, so Instagram and TikTok is really problematic, and it's not even just your classic really toxic diet culture stuff where people are telling you don't eat this, don't eat that, but it's just portrayed very subtly as well through people posting body, like body checking all the time, like being very obsessed with exercise, only eating very clean foods, and just documenting that without stating it, but you know, just documenting, oh, I have to get whatever it is, 15,000 steps a day, I have to go to the gym X amount of times. And that kind of messaging, they're not saying you have to do it, but by them promoting that lifestyle, it's signaling to other people, maybe I should do this too if I want to look like them. And there's just a huge comparison piece there going on. But I suppose there's a phrase that's always thrown around is if you eat the same and train the same way as someone else, you will never look like someone else because genetics play such a role in our body composition as well.
As your role now as a health and wellness coach, how are you incorporating your ideas on wellness and also taking care of your body healthily, inverted commas I use, like it's in that being the priority?
Yeah, so I think with anyone I work with, I will always get an understanding of them as a person. So the issue in the fitness industry is that someone will come to a coach and they're given this, they're sold this dream of like when you get to this size, you will be happy, or like, you know, this is going to solve all your problems. Like someone comes to you, wants to lose weight, and if they're picked up by someone who doesn't have the awareness around body image or relationship with food, they're very much told that everything will be good once they lose this weight. So they put all emphasis on this, and they think that their body is their happiness, and it's their, you know, like, okay, I'm in a smaller body, my life is great. So that association is really problematic in the fitness industry. And then when someone gets to that size, they might lose a lot of weight, and they still have a lot of the insecurities they always had, because again, we know that your how what your body looks like plays only a small part of your confidence as a person. Okay, so like that's so for me, we're looking at all factors, and I'm not anti dieting. I'm not like, I'm not someone who will say love your body as it is and don't give a you know, don't care what it looks like, because I think it's important for us to feel comfortable in our bodies. But there's a fine line between placing, the problem is when we place all our worth on our physical appearance. So a big part of the work I do is taking the emphasis off that, still supporting people to eat well and training to support their bodies, but bringing that awareness of like your body is not the most important thing about you, and you know, really kind of focusing on other aspects of an individual that makes them the person that they are. And when we can take the emphasis off our body, we naturally don't think about it as much, and then we naturally aren't fixating on it as much, and then we naturally don't feel like it's our whole identity. And I think that's where what the fitness industry is missing, is that we place all our identity on our body, and then if someone gets pregnant or is injured, or I don't know, COVID happens and the gym closes, their life falls apart because that's all they are. That's all they think they are. That's not all they are, but that's all they think they are. So that's where this huge identity crisis happens. And that's what happened to me in my recovery. I had to let go of a really small body, and I didn't know who I was if I wasn't the one with a six pack or being really lean. And it has allowed me to figure out who I am, still look after my body, still care about its health, but not place my full worth on the size of my jeans, or you know, taking a selfie in the mirror and being able to see my abs. That doesn't matter to me anymore because I know I'm loved for a lot of things that I offer to the world, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And it's also so true because you definitely, we've just met, granted, but you're definitely so loved by the people around you just by being yourself. It's nothing about the size of your jeans, but this, it's kind of like what we're taught online, isn't it? I feel like it's in person, but now it's even worse online. And I was thinking about this concept of young women and young guys as well in schools at the moment. We know that comparison is such a huge issue in secondary schools. I'm curious as to ask you now, do you think something should be brought in maybe on a curriculum level, in your view?
I think 100%. And I think even, you know, for me, I started having quite negative thoughts around my body when I was in primary school. And I think like kids are on social media now. I know 10-year-olds who are on TikTok, you know, so like there's definitely, I don't know if this is just an Irish thing, but there is resistance as well from speaking to parents of bringing up these conversations because they're afraid and they don't want to, like, I suppose, give kids ideas around, you know, there's fear that if I bring this up with my child around eating disorders that I'll give them ideas. But we know that that's not the case because we wouldn't, like, the conversation you'd have with a 30-year-old is very different to a 12-year-old, you know. So I think very subtle, bringing some awareness around kind of even like our self-worth as a person and what that means, and not necessarily being super focused on bodies, but just bringing up as a conversation of like, you know, there's lots of parts of us that we can offer to the world. And and I think there does need to be more done in schools. I think we have a very black and white view, adults as well, of the world, but specifically of food as well. And as adults, we have such a strong role to play in what we say to students. Like if you're a teacher or something, what you say, even what you're talking about with your colleague, like people pick up on that, kids pick up on that. So I think but I do think there needs to be more awareness brought in on body image, and I think relationship with food, and nothing too intense or anything crazy, but just that conversation needs to be had because we all have a relationship with food and we are all at risk of diet culture because it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. Like I always use this example, but if you go into a supermarket and want a sliced pan, like a thing of bread, there's probably 20 types of bread. You can get low fat, low carb, high fiber, brown, white, and it's like, it's mixed messaging. You can get high protein bread now, which I'm not even going to get into the whole high protein discussion. A huge problem. Again, it's marketing and it's profiting off people's insecurities. But yeah, I think there does need to be much more conversation in schools around this.
If there is somebody listening this evening, whether they are a student or whoever it is, and they're struggling with food, body image or self-worth or feeling a little bit hopeless, what words would you want to share with them to encourage them? Because you've been proof yourself that recovery is possible, and what you've chosen to advocate for now is so important.
I think I would say to someone, I would be asking them to write a really honest letter to themselves around what do they think it really is going on for them. Like, okay, and blurt out everything. You know, start with the body, start with the food, talk, say exactly what you want to say, but then really questioning, you know, well, what else am I feeling here? Because I'm not taking away from the fact that I have had points in my life where I felt extremely negative about my body and extremely anxious and uncomfortable around food, but there was always something else going on too. So I think bringing a bit of awareness to like the fact that, okay, yes, I'm struggling with food and body, but there's other things going on too. And I think that when we have that bit of awareness, it gives us a bit of hope of like, okay, maybe this isn't, I'm, my body isn't the problem here. And having compassion with yourself, because we live in a world that really promotes disordered eating and really promotes talking badly about our bodies. So you're not, it's not uncommon. Unfortunately, a lot of people feel this way. But that awareness is key, I think, because it's the first step to being able to reach out and get a bit of support. But yeah, I think that's what I'd say, because I have written many honest letters to myself of like, also, what do I want my life to look like? You know, because I was consumed with food and my body, and I had no life and no friends and didn't want to engage in anything. So I had to ask myself, is this the life I want? And yeah, really being just very honest with myself was the main thing. So yeah, that's one piece of advice. I have lots of different things for that.
Well, look, Jen, thank you so much for that advice. I'm sure it'll resonate with at least one person this evening. And if you want to hear more from Jen, she has her own podcast, Jenny For Your Thoughts. And you can also listen back to this chat on the Go Loud app. Jen, thank you so much for hopping on The Hub this evening. I'm sure we'll catch up with you again.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much, guys.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.